And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
What is up, everybody? Hope y'all are having a great night, great evening, whenever y'all are tuning in. This is RBLR Bucks, and I am Carter Brantley, one of your co-hosts of this one wonderful show, and we've got a good one ahead of us. We're going to be kind of taking a retrospective view of the NFL. We're going to be doing an all-time rankings list, and we're starting with the running backs. I know you might think, why don't you start with quarterbacks, but you know what? We just want to do things our own way here. Maybe it's because it's RB and RBLR. Okay, sorry. Before any more dad jokes come out of my mouth, I have to introduce my two wonderful co-hosts, Mr. Tyler Basalo. How are you doing today, my friend?
I am hanging in there. It is my summertime now. The semester's up, so it's time to relax by the pool.
Hey, that's what's up. That's the best place to be. I took a little dip in the pool as well earlier tonight. It's some nice weather to do so. Maybe not nice weather to do anything else, but dip in the pool, heck yeah. I'm with you. But Mr. Zach Blaine as well, he is the third party, the not third party, the third member of our party that completes this trio.
The third wheel, huh, Carter?
No, I'm sorry.
You said it, not me, brother.
How you doing tonight, my man?
I am doing fantastic, brother. The kids graduated from we had two third grade graduates, a first grade graduate, and a fifth grade graduate today. So it's been a good day so far, man.
That's awesome, man. I love it. Yeah, it's getting to be that time of year. My fiance is actually having to go to her own graduation, but she teaches, so she's going to a graduation next week as well. So it's an exciting time of year for sure. I'm excited to see all the kiddos graduate into the next level because that's a fun time. But we'll get right into it because we're excited. I know I'm excited to talk about this topic because this is one of my favorite. We did position rankings last year for the NFL current, just kind of looking at the guys around the NFL and going position by position, saying who was the best. Now we're going to do it for all time and the whole history of the NFL. So we're going to have some disagreements. And we're going to have so feel free to drop some comments if you agree, if you disagree. Maybe you think one of us is full of it, which, in my case, it's certainly true. But definitely drop us some comments because I know we're going to miss some guys. And we'll talk about honorable mentions first. But if y'all have any honorable mentions, please feel free to shout us out and give us a like and subscribe, too, because we're going to keep doing this. And we're going to be doing different positions as well. And that's going to be equally fun. But let's get into it. Enough of my hemming and hawing. Zach Blaine, I'll start with you, man. Who are some guys that just narrowly missed your list?
I mean, Frank Gore, literally as we were talking pre-show, I adjusted my ranking to take Frank Gore off. He never had any like single crazy season.
Right. Longevity king for sure.
Yeah, he played for what, 20 years or something close to it? Was
15 seasons.
He was a steady factor and all, like it wasn't like he was just on a team at any point. Like he was maybe not the bell cow, but he was a driving factor in every team he played on. So outside of just him, he was probably the most honorable mention for me. And then Gale Sayers is another one that, like, had he played longer,
kind of 100%
be on this list. But
right.
it was hard for me to put who some people think is one of the best running backs of all time off the list. But then you look at it, and he had 4,900 and something yards and, like, 39 touchdowns. Like, it wasn't crazy enough for me to be able to put him on this list yet.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a tough exclusion for me as well because you hear, like, all the stories about Gale Sayers as being, like, just this transformative force in the NFL. I know another guy for me, both of those guys for sure are tough to miss my list as well. One guy that I thought one of us and Tyler, I haven't seen your list, so I'm really excited. But Jerome Bettis, I was surprised neither one of us had him on there because he's top 10. I think he's 8th, and he was certainly another guy 12 years in the league. And, he played in that era with LaDainian Tomlinson and a lot of other really tremendous running backs. So he was never quite considered like the best of the best. But and at the same time, like to leave a guy that ranked that high off is it's tough, so I think
with all due respect to Mike Evans, I feel like he's kind of getting the Mike Evans treatment. Like Mike Evans has never really been the best receiver at any point in his career,
right. But he's always been top 10.
He's always a top 10, so he doesn't get the recognition as like Justin Jefferson, which he should, but he doesn't. So I think that's the same situation with Jerome Bettis, where like He just kind of played in a time where there were so many great running backs.
Yeah. I mean, shoot, you even get into, like, guys that he played against directly, like, in the Super Bowl. Like, Sean Alexander was amazing. I mean, he was
exactly.
You know, just a lot of really tremendous running backs in that era. So, I feel you. But, Tyler, who are some guys that maybe just missed your list that you were like, ah, I can't believe I couldn't find a spot for him?
Yeah, some of those guys, like Curtis Martin, he's, like, sixth all-time in rushing yards. And I just – I couldn't justify putting him top 10.
Wow. Same here. Same here.
Oh my gosh. Breaking my heart.
Tony Dorsett. I couldn't find a spot for any other. Edgerrin James.
Yeah.
Thurman Thomas, John Riggins, OJ Simpson. Like, all those guys are so close. They're all right there.
Right.
And, you know, they just, they're all Hall of Famers.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but there's been so many great running backs that it's just, it's tough to leave some of those off, especially because some of those guys won MVPs.
Right.
OJ Simpson, he won an MVP. He led the league in rushing like 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a different time in football. I mean, every running back was putting up those kinds of numbers back then.
Right. Yeah, it's a tough. I mean, we talked about it with the current position rankings last year, how much we're splitting hairs here, you know, because if you're even an honorable mention in the top 10 running backs ever, then you're not probably, you're a Hall of Fame caliber player. So we're, you know, we're having to talk down, quote unquote, about some of these guys, and like, they're all time players, you know? So,
right.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm agreeing. It's very tough to, you know, kind of split hairs at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like with any all time list across sports, frankly. I mean, you get into like the, you know, it's the little MJ versus LeBron versus Kareem debate or whatever the case may be. You're having to denigrate guys who had like these elite all-time like legendary careers that, you know, we'll be talking about forever. And that's the same case here. But let's get into it. We've talked about our honorable mentions, and let's start with number 10. We'll start from the bottom up. I had Marshall Faulk here. He's just, man, he was the guy, like, and not even just like a running back, like, he was also, he, like, there's always the joke about like guys that, oh, well, he could be a receiver. And it's like, well, if he could be a receiver, then why isn't he just a receiver? Because, you know, receivers are pretty darn good too. But Marshall Faulk is one of the few guys in NFL history that I think legitimately could have been an all pro receiver, but was also an all pro running back. He was insane. So I couldn't leave him off the list, at number 10, but Mr. Blaine, who did you have at number 10?
I love the Marshall Faulk inclusion, but I have Marcus Allen at 10.
Very good. Excellent.
It feels weird because I feel like I only remember him being a Raider. Like, obviously, I know he played for the Chiefs, but the Raiders' Marcus Allen is probably one of the best running backs to ever do it. And he led the league in rushing touchdowns twice, led the league in receiving rushing yards once, 12,000 plus career rushing yards, 144 touchdowns, like, won an MVP.
Yeah, he was the man.
Six Pro Bowls, one All Pro, one first team All Pro. Like, he was just kind of a stud. And I think that he was one of the heartbeats on the older Raiders teams. And I love seeing running backs like the way he played.
Yeah, absolutely. No, yeah, he's very worthy inclusion. Just missed my list as well. He's, you know, we're, like I said, splitting hairs here. So yeah, Marcus Allen, really great shout for sure. I'm glad at least one of us found a spot for him on our lists. But Mr. Tyler, who was your 10th running back on this list?
10th on my list is Derrick Henry.
Ooh, okay. I like it.
I feel like in, you know, maybe even less than a year, I'll probably be able to bump him up a couple spots.
Yeah.
He's not very far from the top five in yards or touchdowns all time. And when you talk about like longevity, you don't see running backs last this long in the league anymore. I feel like he's been here, what is this, year 9, heading into year 10, maybe, off the top of my head. You don't see that very often. And he's done it for two teams. He's racked up a couple of Offensive Player of the Year awards. He's racked up a ton of All Pros.
Right.
And it's not like he's like a longevity monster. I mean, like that's not his main strength. He had a very high peak. He was almost a 2,000-yard rusher a couple different times in his career. Right.
Yeah. You look at the all-time single season leaders, and Derrick Henry came close
a couple times.
Yeah.
Which, granted, you know, 17 game season, but
sure, but still,
even on a yards per game basis, he's up there with some of the Chris 2Ks of the world.
Sure.
So yeah, I went Derrick Henry at 10.
Yeah, no, I love it. Derrick Henry, little sneak preview. He made my list as well, but he's a little bit higher. And yeah, I'm all those reasons. And I think a big thing with Derrick Henry, with King Henry, I think the a big thing for me was that, like, and we'll get into this with some of these other guys, is that, like, he was the best running back in the league, kind of bona fide. Like, it wasn't really even necessarily a conversation for at least a few years there. Yeah. And for me, that's important. Like, for me, that's kind of a big deal.
Right. And I think part of that for him narratively is that he benefited from McCaffrey and Barkley being unable to stay healthy.
100%. Yeah. No,
but,
absolutely.
You know, they also, even if they were healthy, I don't know that they're putting up 20 touchdowns and 1,900 yards every year.
Yeah. I mean, he made Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans look good.
He made the perennial wild cards.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, Ryan Tannehill was probably better than I'm giving him credit for, of course. But no, he made those offenses run. Like, he had, like, probably the defining run of the 2020s or late 2010s. Like, this recent era, like, you think of that 99-yard run from Derrick Henry where he, like, stiff arms the entire defense that he was playing. Like, it's just insane stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
So I would even venture to say that he's probably on the Tennessee Titans Mount Rushmore, is he not?
Yeah.
It's him and Chris Johnson. And off the top of my head,
Walker. Earl Campbell, isn't he a Titan technically?
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's why I said technically. Theoretically, I guess he's a Houston, but I wouldn't put him with the Texans.
You can put Warren Moon in there too. I'll be okay with that.
Yeah. So I don't know that I'd have him. God, I don't know. That's such a tough.
That's
because he
one.
Deserves to be on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
like, also, they've already got so many good running backs. On
I know.
That Mount
yeah.
Rushmore. That's crazy to think about.
Yeah, man, Tennessee, man, they or the Titans organization, if you want to say it that way. They've had some good ones for sure. I don't know, but. Number nine, Tyler, I'll swing it right back to you. Who do you have at number nine for your list?
Number nine, I had Jerome Bettis.
Okay, good. I'm glad one of us got it.
He played for a long time, you know, 12 years in the league. He didn't really slow down. I think he had his best touchdown numbers, like, near the end of his career, actually, as he turned into almost a pure goal line back.
Right, yeah.
I think for the Steelers, he really was one of those guys that defined the era of the 90s and the 2000s.
Yeah.
And you know, he was a real tone setter on the field. And he also had a tough act to follow in Franco Harris, who is another guy who narrowly missed out on my list. But you know, he's one of the he's up there in rushing touchdowns all time, and he's actually higher on the all-time rushing yards list. He's 12th in touchdowns and 9th in, or 8th in rushing yards, which is pretty nuts.
Yeah, he was a tough guy to leave off my list for sure. I struggled mightily with not putting Jerome Bettis on mine because you know, it's hard to argue with the production, man. Like, his
right,
you
and
know,
he's got, like, kind of an icon status. Like, people know, people know who he is
for sure. The bus, like, literally, like, you say the word,
you
the bus,
saying it like that, and I didn't even contemplate Bettis on my top 10.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he was great. I don't mean for that to be like a dig at Jerome Bettis.
No, I get you.
He deserves everything he has. Like, he seems like an awesome person and was fun to watch, but he just, I think that I fell too much into, like, exactly what we said in the beginning, where he just was never the best running back
right
at any given point in his career. Like,
I'm honestly, I'm putting him there to justify putting Mike Evans in my wide receivers top 10 later.
That's fair. I love that. I respect
good luck with
that
one, man. I don't think I'll find a spot for Mike Evans. But good luck with that one. I think another thing that maybe Bettis falls victim to, which this sounds stupid, but like I'm trying to justify it for myself, kind of. He wasn't the flashiest player, you know. Like, a lot of these guys you think of, and you're like, you can think of highlights, and you can think of them, like, making people miss and, like, doing all these crazy things. I don't know that Jerome Bettis has that kind of, I hate to use the word aura, but, like, that kind of vibe, you know, like, I don't
it's
know.
It's so emblematic of Pittsburgh, though. Like, that's,
I know.
So
yeah. It is perfect for the Steelers. Like, that is very, like, a good,
even just the city.
Yeah. 100%. No, absolutely. So who was your number nine, Mr. Blaine? Who'd you have there?
I want to lead this pick off by saying this is not a character top 10. So I felt
that gives it away right there.
Yeah. It was okay to put him up there. On the field, O.J. Simpson was one of the best running backs there.
Yeah, he was. He was.
Yeah. He led the league in rushing four times and rushing touchdowns twice, 11,200 career rushing yards, 61 touchdowns, and won an MVP. Again, this list does not include anything off the field.
No, for sure.
But I mean, he's legendary. And
yeah.
On the field, he's legendary.
Yeah,
that feels very important. I don't condone anything negative that he did. But
of course. No, yeah.
Great he's, running back.
Yeah,
no, I get it. If I put him in my list, I would feel justified.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It feels awful, like, giving him credit. But as a football player, I mean, you can't take away talent. And he had
– 100% deserving of a top 10 ranking. And frankly – if you take away his off the field stuff and I should be able to separate it, but at the same time, he was just borderline enough for me to where I was like, you know, I don't really want to include him on my list just because I don't know, but I totally get it. Like, he is very much a top 10 running back on this. Like perfectly justifiable pick. 100%. My number nine is probably a little, because I think this is Mr. Blaine has this guy much, much higher than I do, but I have Jim Brown at number nine. I mean, he is tough. Like, you look at the NFL's history and you could argue that Jim Brown might be one of like the biggest stars in the league's history. You know, like, I know, you think of Tom Brady and you think of Patrick Mahomes and, you know, all the quarterbacks, but Jim Brown might be the most famous running back of all time for the NFL. Like, he might have that name status. That's debatable too, but he was that guy, you know, like, he was sort of that early era of football. So it was tough for me not to put him higher, but I don't know. I did want to put him higher, but at the same time, I also was like, you know, I think number nine is a solid spot for me, but I totally understand people putting him higher because he is Jim Brown. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to argue with that, but yeah, I had him on number nine on my list. Go ahead.
Quite a difference from where I have Jim Brown.
Yes, yes. But who'd you have at number eight?
How far as we could have gotten today.
Yeah. But who'd you have it coming in at number eight for running backs, Mr. Blaine?
At number eight, I have Earl Campbell. We just talked about Tennessee Titans legends. I don't – like I said, I consider him a Titans legend, but he technically played for the Oilers. 9,400 yards, 74 touchdowns. The thing that kind of takes it away is how long did Earl Campbell play?
Yeah, he played 7 years. It's insane.
Yeah, he only played 7 years. So that's the downside to me. I would have him higher, but I do think that longevity kind of plays into my list. Earl Campbell was just good enough for me to kind of ignore the longevity. Like I had said with Gale Sayers, like, had Gale Sayers played for another 5 years, he'd be on my list. I'd almost guarantee it. But Earl Campbell was good enough. He won an MVP, five Pro Bowls, three first team All Pros. Like, while he was playing, he was dominant. And I think that he deserves a spot on the list, even though it was only 7 years.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally agree. Earl Campbell, very, very much like part of that honorable mention list for me. Yeah, he's very much the peak. He might be the peak king of this list, frankly. Like, I do think he probably has one of the highest peaks of any running back that will be mentioned tonight. Yeah, he was insane, man. That's Earl Monroe, but Earl Campbell, man. He was.
The Oilers were cool, man.
The Oilers were cool. Earl is a very cool name. Yeah, maybe not My Name is Earl. That show kind of did a rough spot on the name Earl. I love that show, but, you know, the actual guy Earl, kind of a moron, but the character, I mean. But regardless, yeah, Earl Campbell was the guy. Tyler, who'd you have at number eight?
I mean, this is where I ended up sticking Jim Brown.
Ooh, okay.
And, you know, I think you could absolutely justify putting him higher. Yeah. It's just hard with that era of football. This honestly plays in his favor. They were only playing 12 games a season for the first half of his career, and then only 14 games for the rest of it. He only played 9 seasons, and in 8 of those seasons, he led the league in yards and touchdowns.
Yeah.
He was like an 8-time All-Pro first team, and he has like 3 MVPs. It's tough to put him low, but again, there are so many running backs, and he played so early on in the NFL that it really is like it's tough to put him higher for me.
Man, the more we talk about him, the more I'm like, man, I need to put him higher. I don't.
But like, again, he suffers from that like Bill Russell stuff where.
Right. Like, yes.
Who would he playing against?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, it's, I'm not saying that, you know, I would be playing in the NFL if I lived in the 1950s and 60s.
I get what you're saying.
But yeah. Like, you know, it's just not, it's not quite the same to me. I'm sure he would still be a world athlete if he played today.
For sure.
Him and, you know, Red Grange, but. You know, it's just, it's tougher. For him to make it higher.
It is hard to combine like the era adjustments with also like, yeah, I don't know. I struggle.
If I were adjusting this list for era, he would probably be in the top three.
Yeah, it is.
Tough, yeah. So I did not adjust it for era. I just said accolades and all, this is where I'm putting people.
Yeah.
And that's why I think Jim Brown is, again, significantly higher than now Tyler, too.
Absolutely. Hey, it's a very defensible thing. Jim Brown, like, you get the 10 and 9 spot, or really once you get 10 and below, I was kind of like, you know, these guys are deserving of being in the top 10, but probably not like top 5. But once you get 9 and above, it gets very sticky. Like, it's very wishy-washy for me. My number 8 was Derrick Henry, which I know that's a little bit higher than Tyler had him, and I know Zach, you don't have him on your list at all, which is again perfectly defensible. But man, all the reasons Tyler listed, that's kind of why I had him where he is. But number 7, I had Curtis Martin. I know that Mr. Blaine doesn't have him on his list, and I'll be interested to hear where you have him. But Curtis Martin, man, like top 6 in rushing yards all time. He was tough. Like it was him and LT, you know, in those late 90s, early 2000s era. He was really, really outstanding for those Jets teams. I mean, all across the NFL, Curtis Martin was the guy. So that's why I put him at 7. But Tyler, who'd you have at number 7?
At number 7, I had Eric Dickerson.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
he was swaggy. He's kind of in that Earl Campbell area where he, like, you know, his fits were awesome. He had the glasses, you know, the loose fitting jersey was, you know, swirling around as he ran. He just kind of has the aura factor to me.
Yeah.
Which, you know, hate to say it, but he was just a cool player on top of, you know, being really, really, really good at football. So,
right. Yeah.
You know, this is where I put Eric Dickerson.
That's interesting. I think I had Eric Dickerson a good bit higher than both you and Mr. Blaine, which, yeah, I'm not going to lie. Likeability probably played a good bit of factor into that one. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. But at the same time, man, that's also Eric Dickerson. Like, he had literally the greatest season of any running back in the NFL.
Right. And that was like his second year in the league.
Yeah. Like, he was 24 and he had, like, yeah, it's a
100 yards and 14 touchdowns.
Yeah. Like, he was bonkers.
As a rookie, he had 1,818 touchdowns. Like, you don't come out of the gate much faster than that.
Yeah, like, he was bonkers from day one. I totally get putting him at 7 because he does like you said, the longevity, quote unquote, part of it. He does fall a little bit short of some of these other guys. So totally get him being as low as 7. But speaking of being as low as 7, Mr. Blaine, who was your number 7 guy? I think it's
also Eric Dickerson. I think that this is the first time we've had a repeat at the same spot. Yeah. He beats out Earl Campbell to me because he played, I believe, 3 more seasons. I think he played 10 years. Earl Campbell has the MVP on him. But I do think, again, longevity plays a role with me for, like, all-time great running backs. So, yeah, everything that Tyler said, like, I just kind of mirror that. I think swag is the perfect word for him. Like, he had swag back when swag wasn't a thing. Like, he was just fun to watch. Some of his highlights are some of the most fun I've had watching running back highlights. Like,
yeah,
he's just fun to watch play football.
Right.
So I got him at 7, even without – he's the first MVP list running back on my list.
Yeah, which the MVP conversation is tough because you look at that 1984 season and it's literally like – he missed out on the MVP because of Dan Marino. And so it's like,
who had, to that point, the greatest passing season ever.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. So, like, in my mind, he should have one. It just happened to be one of those things where a player, every year that he played good, a player played at a different position played better. And it was just like, come on, man.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's brutal, but yeah, it's fascinating stuff for sure. So we've gone through the top 10, 9, 8, 7. So now we're at 6. And Mr. Blaine, who did you have at number 6? I think this one might surprise some folks.
Yeah, I think that this is going to surprise people, and I understand. I have Emmitt Smith at 6. I struggled with him because I think a big part of Emmitt Smith's game is that he played so long. But, like, I can't take that away because I talked about Frank Gore being potentially on the list at 10 because he played so long.
Right.
Literally, he's the all-time leading rusher, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Like 18,355 yards, 164 touchdowns. But another guy who I don't think ever won an MVP, regular season MVP. He won the Super Bowl MVP and 3 Super Bowl championships, 8 Pro Bowls, first team All Pro 4 times. Like, at first, I'll be honest, I missed putting him on the list and I was just going to leave him off. But then I realized, like, you can't leave that off.
Right. He does have an MVP, by the way, in 1993.
Oh, okay. So he did win one. All right. Yeah, well, good on him then. He deserves to be on the list even more now.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know. It was, I wouldn't mind having him higher, but I think a lot of his numbers are inflated because of how long he played, and I don't. That's not a bad thing, but it also doesn't help as being the greatest running back in my opinion. If he just played 20 years and it didn't change his numbers all that much, then I wouldn't be like, oh. But he was pretty good even in his Arizona Cardinals year.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and I think, like, I can't take that away from him. He was a good player.
Right. And I think that's what's tough for me is, like, if the gap between 1 and 2 was, like, you know, 100 yards or like 200 yards, then, like, okay, yeah, Emmitt Smith just stuck around long enough. But the gap between him and Walter Payton, who's second, is 1600 yards. That's at least a whole season of, like,
and really a, good, and a good season too.
So that's where it shoots him up the list a little bit higher for me. But I definitely see, and not only the longevity-ness or the whatever you want to call it, like the accumulator status that he kind of possesses. It's also the fact that he played for some of the greatest teams ever. You know, those Dallas Cowboys teams. As much as, you know, it's screw the Cowboys and all that stuff. Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin are pretty darn good too, you know. So
and for me, I think that's what drops him down a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. It's
a lot of these other guys, at least on my list, a majority of them were kind of the star on the team.
Yeah, they were the offense. They were the
yeah,
offense.
And when it comes to Emmitt Smith, he was a huge part, like, not taking anything away from him, but the defense also had to worry about really, really good other offensive weapons, which I think makes it a little bit easier to be a good running back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I definitely see, like, you know, I don't have him that much higher than 6, but I do have him a little bit higher. But, you know, that's Emmitt Smith, all-time great for sure. Tyler, who do you got at number 6?
This is actually where I ended up sticking Marcus Allen. That touchdown Ooh. Number looks really, really gaudy to me in an era where teams weren't really scoring that much, sure. You know, in the 70s and early 80s. And I also think, you know, he benefits from, you know, the whole Bo Jackson what if. But
right.
I think it's also easy to forget that we talked about this pre-show. It's easy to forget that he played for the Chiefs.
Like, yeah,
his Raiders tenure was that good where it was just kind of easy to forget that he played for the Chiefs. And he has, you know, fairly gaudy numbers, especially in the touchdown category, as I, you know, struggle and bumble to pull up the page. Yeah, I mean, the guy's third all-time in touchdowns with 123. He's got the Super Bowl ring. He's got 2 All-Pros. He's got an MVP. He's got a Rookie of the Year. It's you know, it's hard to leave him off that list. He's also, you know, he rushed for 1,700 yards in 1985 with 109 per game, and he played forever. He played for 15 whole years. I think that for a running back, that kind of longevity really, really, really helps your status in the all-time conversations, because it's a hard position to play. And he didn't really play running back. He played fullback for most of his career. That is even tougher.
Right.
Yeah.
Position doesn't even exist anymore, really.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough, man. Fullbacks don't really, yeah. I mean, does that position even really, for the most part, exist in modern NFL? Not really. Yeah, so
Patrick Ricard and Kyle Juszczyk.
Right. Yeah. That's real. Although the Steelers drafted the Navy guy, Eli.
Heidenreich.
Yeah, last name starts with an H. I'll let you try to pronounce it. It's an interesting development for sure. But yeah, man, Marcus Allen, he's definitely a guy that just narrowly missed my list. But my number six, who I think we're starting to get into the unanimous territory, like where we're all in agreement that these guys should be on this list, and I think that's pretty much going to be the rest of the list. LT LaDainian Tomlinson is number six for me. What more is there to really say? He was the bona fide number one running back in the NFL for a very long time. And he was not only just the best running back in the NFL, like he was the guy. And he was sort of similar to Marshall Faulk in that he was a very good pass catcher as well. So he not only brought the traditional, you know, shifty elusiveness running back to the table, he was also a very good pass catcher too. A very underrated aspect of his game, playing with Drew Brees and then Phillip Rivers. So I love LaDainian Tomlinson. I mean, he was like my childhood was watching LaDainian Tomlinson tapes, you know. So that was a big factor for me. And frankly, I debated putting him higher, but I felt like number six was a good spot for him. But we're nearing the middle of our episode, and so I'm going to put in a shop ad right here because I don't know how to make a better transition. So definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com if you're looking for some really good gear. We'll give you a promo code, that Cannons, CANNONS. Type that bad boy in, get 10% off your entire order. We'd really appreciate it. Definitely head on over there and check it out. But now we are getting into the top five territory. Top five, to quote that weird guy from Canada. number five for me is Adrian Peterson. I know he's probably on y'all's list as well, maybe if not a little higher. He's got the MVP. He's got the elite. I think he holds the single game rushing yard record, right? If I'm not mistaken. He had that insane game. Adrian Peterson is sort of that next generation's LaDainian Tomlinson. Like he sort of caught or not caught, but he sort of received the torch from LT in terms of being like that generation's best running back in the NFL, kind of bona fide. So yeah, Adrian Peterson at number five. Mr. Blaine, who do you have?
So your last two are kind of funny because that's going to go really well with my next two. I have Tomlinson at five. For everything you said, I think growing up, he was one of the people that I watched growing up. At least when I started knowing what football was, I was watching.
I get you.
And everyone wanted to be like, I call him the real LT. I know Lawrence Taylor. Probably should have that title, but I enjoyed watching LaDainian Tomlinson more. So yes. He's our era's LT.
Yes.
But 13,000 plus yards, 145 rushing touchdowns, 17 pass receiving touchdowns, MVP. I don't think anyone will ever beat his rushing touchdowns record. That's one of those records in a season that I don't think will ever be beat. 28 rushing touchdowns in a season. Not even just that, but he led the league in rushing touchdowns three times and then in rushing yards twice. I don't think there was a time where there was no running back that was really even close to LT.
Yeah.
LT was out of this world.
Yeah. He was in a class on his own for sure.
Yeah. So I think that I could put him higher and not feel bad about it. Like if he would have made my top three, I wouldn't have been like, I wouldn't have felt crazy.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, LT, man, he was the guy. Mr. Tyler, who do you have at number five for your list?
This is also where I stuck Adrian Peterson.
Oh, okay, very cool.
And I think he's kind of also a what-if guy, just because, you know, he kind of gets embroiled in some of the scandal stuff towards the end of his 20s. Yeah. And then he tears his ACL after he already tore it one time very early in his career. He wins it. He's the most recent running back to win an MVP award.
Right.
He's got a rookie of the year under his belt. And he was just like, he defined my era of just now starting to watch football.
Yeah.
In, you know, 2012-ish. And, you know, he was the best running back on the planet for a very short amount of time, but a pretty significant amount of time in terms of running back lifespan. He's got 1,700 yards in 2008, 18 touchdowns in 2009, and then he eclipses 2,000 yards for the MVP season.
Right.
You know, in 2015, coming off of a terrible injury, He leads the league in carries and yards and touchdowns again. So I think, you know, when you consider all of those factors, it's pretty hard to leave him out of the top five.
Yeah, no, AP, man, he's tough. He's a tough guy. But speaking of AP, Zach, I believe you have him next, right? You have him at number
four. I have AP at four. And this is one where I think AP and LaDainian Tomlinson were kind of interchangeable, like where we put 100%. Them. They kind of have the same career arc where I think that Adrian Peterson would have been better had he not had the injuries towards the end and the scandals. NFL record 296 yards in a game, like that will never be close to beat again.
Yeah.
At least I don't think so.
Especially with load management these days, you know, they don't stay in that long.
He played, I think he's already going to, he deserves to be a Hall of Famer. I think he'll be, he might already be in Minnesota's Ring of Honor. Like he should be. Three-time NFL rushing yards leader. Can you guys still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Discord apparently stopped working, so I want to make sure my internet didn't go out.
No, you're good.
But yeah, like seven-time Pro Bowl, four first-team All Pros. Just, I think there's nothing bad to say about his playing ability.
Yeah.
So I have him at four. I think, like I said, my top five are kind of interchangeable. Anywhere you put someone, I wouldn't think you're insane.
Yeah. So my number four was Emmitt Smith. We kind of already touched on him and all the reasons he should be on this list. All-time rushing leader. That's really all there is to say about Emmitt Smith. So number four, that's where I've got him. Tyler, who do you have at number four?
It's pretty interesting. All three of us at four, five, and six had the same three players, just in a different order. I ended up with LaDainian Tomlinson here at four for, you know, all of the reasons we said before. But I didn't really watch him play. He was kind of – I hate to be that guy. He was a little bit before my time. however, I am aware of him from a fantasy football perspective because, you know, not just because of the longevity and all that, but also because he had some of like the most ridiculous like full season scores ever. The guy was pretty much averaging, you know, 1,200 yards and 750 yards receiving. And the NFL has evolved to allow that a lot more with the Christian McCaffreys and Saquon Barkleys of the world who can kind of line up wherever you want on the football field. LaDainian Tomlinson was really the first guy to do that to me. It's him and Marshall Faulk.
Yeah, LT.
He defined LT it.
Walked so that Christian McCaffrey could run.
Yeah.
Yes, no, exactly.
Yeah, no, I'm in 100% agreement there. So now we're getting into our top three, and I think – I mean, Tyler, you could really go wonky here, but I'm pretty sure that we're going to have at least two of these three guys on this list, like in a little bit of a jumbled order. I'll give my guy who I don't think is – no, I don't think. I know he's not on y'all's list. Eric Dickerson is third for me. He was really – I mean, we already talked about him. He had that elite season that just narrowly missed out on an MVP award because of Dan Marino, which, oh, gosh, you know, what a loser to lose out of Dan Marino, you know. But Eric Dickerson was my third place running back. But Mr. Flynn, I think you have one of my guys that is the top two on number three. So give it to us. Who you got?
Yep, I've got Walter Payton, played 12 years all in Chicago. I think that it was Sweetness, and they called him.
Yeah, Sweetness. Honestly,
he's one of the top three running backs. It doesn't matter where you put him in the three. 16,726 rushing yards, 110 rushing touchdowns, 15 receiving touchdowns. I mean, back then, I don't think running backs even knew they were allowed to catch the football. Right. 15 touchdowns receiving back then is insane.
Right.
Also a Super Bowl champion, also an MVP, nine-time Pro Bowler, seven-time first-team All-Pro. Like, the guy is – the definition of a running back. I think anyone, any era knows who Walter Payton is.
Yeah.
I'm also famously a very good person.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Walter Payton, man of the year.
OJ.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Walter Payton, man of the year award. They don't name it after him because he was a jerk. He's I guess the, maybe not quite the Roberto Clemente of the NFL, but they both have awards named after them, rightfully so, because humanitarian stuff and all that great work. So, yeah, Walter Payton, top three for sure. I have him a little bit higher, and we'll get to him. But, yeah, all those reasons, he's in my top three as well. But, Tyler, who's your third running back?
This is where I ended up sticking Emmitt Smith.
Okay, fair enough.
He definitely has, you know, all the longevity. He's kind of the Frank Gore before Frank Gore. Sure. Except he was a lot more successful, you know, in the postseason,
right.
And you know, just generally, I think the thing that we forgot earlier to say about him is that he led the league in rushing 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
In the middle of those, he had 18 touchdowns, and then a couple years later, he led the league again in yards, and he also had 25 touchdowns, which is awfully close to the current, you know, all time season record.
Right.
He definitely benefits from playing on a roster that had, I don't know, four or five Hall of Famers at any given time.
Right. Yeah.
But it's running back is not easy. There are a lot of factors that have to go right in front of you and behind you when you're running football.
For sure.
And he did play a long time, but he only played two more seasons than Walter Payton.
Right.
Didn't play that much longer. And he is so far ahead in touchdowns and yards.
Yeah, it's
probably
pretty tough.
A full season's worth in both categories.
Yeah, he is tough. Yeah, Emmitt definitely a worthy person to include in the top three in my mind too. Like definitely, you know, one of those guys for sure. So number two, I think Zach and I are in agreement. So I think I'll hit on some of the main points. And Zach, if you want to chime in with anything else, but Barry Sanders was my number two. Barry Sanders, man, like he was. Certified, like he really could have been number one for me. He was a great player. Like he only played nine seasons, but he was fourth in the all-time rushing list. Like just really outstanding stuff. Like over 15,000 rushing yards over nine seasons. Like that's just bonkers types of things. And he did play for the Detroit Lions. You know, like no, I'm sorry, I hate to denigrate the Detroit Lions, but my goodness, that's not exactly a great team. He was the opposite of Emmitt Smith. He was not playing with any Hall of Famer, or maybe he was, but not nearly as many.
That was going to be my input there is, can you name another Lions player from that time?
Yeah, no. I think
they had a quarterback who went to the University of Houston, but I cannot remember his name.
Exactly. That lends to my point a little bit.
Yeah,
he was Detroit's offense.
Yeah, yeah. And he was the guy, man. Barry Sanders, I mean, and his highlights are all super fun to watch too. Like he has the vibe to like all the boxes that you want checked. Barry Sanders checks them and he could be number one. And I would be like, okay, cool. Yeah. That makes
you
sense.
You give him the amount of time that Emmitt Smith played and his numbers are, he blows Emmitt Smith out of the water.
Nobody ever touches those records.
Exactly. And that's not a dig at Emmitt Smith, but Barry Sanders retired after 9 years.
Yeah, because he just, I mean, shoot.
Honestly.
Exactly. And he was not, like, slowing down necessarily. So
right, it was just.
I think he went out on his own terms, which seems to be a thing that a lot of Detroit Lions players do.
right. Him and Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, but, like, I think that had he had the longevity of some of these other guys, like Frank Gore. Gore, if he had the longevity of Frank Gore, we would never talk about another running back in the entire world.
Right.
Like Barry Sanders will always have every record. But I think you give him another 5 years, put him at 12 to 14 years, and we're talking about Barry Sanders owning every
running
maybe
back
not rushing touchdowns record because he did only have 99.
But
outside of rushing touchdown record, like every other counting rushing stat, he's leading the NFL career wise in.
Yeah, tough stuff, man. And it's crazy to think that the Lions have two of the best like skill position players ever, and they still, you know, they're still the Lions. It's tough. But Mr. Tyler, who do you have at number two?
At number two, I ended up sticking Walter Payton.
Okay.
I think that he, ironically, is a guy who I think also retired a little bit early, although he played a couple more years than Barry Sanders.
Right.
He has the ring. He has, you know, the legendary status. He has everything that you look for in a running back. He was great with the ball in his hands. I think he paved the road for a lot of the running backs that came after him. A la, you know, Barry Sanders and Earl Campbell and Eric Dickerson. They all had a very similar play style. They all wore the headbands as well, which, you know, he kind of made famous. I think it's very difficult to argue that he was not the greatest running back on the planet for most of the time that he was in the NFL. And you know, it's hard to argue with an MVP award winning, Super Bowl winning, five-time All-Pro, All-70s team, Hall of Fame running back, who, you know, he kind of set the tone for everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, and for all those reasons, I had Walter Payton number one, which I know I think I ventured away from y'all in this aspect. I think we all had different number ones.
So
Walter Payton, man, I mean, yeah, the Man of the Year award, Walter Payton, like that's all there really is to it. I mean, he's number one in my mind, but I also totally agree. I totally get y'all's answers too. And Mr. Blaine, you are going to bring up a guy that we haven't talked about in a little bit. So,
all right, let us hear it.
Yeah,
I'm going Jim Brown, guys. Jim Brown is, in my opinion, one of the most decorated running backs in the NFL. I think that as much as we talk about like LaDainian Tomlinson running or walking so that CMC could run, Jim Brown also had 20 receiving touchdowns. 106 rushing touchdowns, 12,312 yards. And like you guys had said, that was playing 12 games for the first half of his career and then 14 for the second half. Imagine him at let's just even call it the 16 games in a season. Like that number would go up significantly because he did play he played 8 years. So another guy who longevity, I mean, back then I feel like 8 years was probably a long time to play in the league. I don't know. Again, I didn't do like the backtracking of eras and stuff.
Sure.
Time MVP, one time champion, 9-time Pro Bowler, 8-time All Pro, led the league in rushing 8 times, receiving touchdowns 5 times. And a big thing for me was a while back, I want to say it may have been the Browns did a Hard Knocks, didn't they?
I believe so, yeah.
And Nick Chubb was like in awe getting to meet Jim Brown.
Yeah, I mean, as anyone.
Exactly. So, like, to see people that play his position respect him that much is a big part of, like, why I like him so much. And I think that the 3 MVPs enough. I don't know another running back. At least I didn't see another running back that won it more than once. It's just he's a stud.
Yeah, Jim Brown, man, totally defensible, and frankly, like I said, the more we keep talking about him, the more I'm like, damn, how did I have him that low? So yeah, I don't blame you at all. But Tyler, I think I know the answer to who's your first, but I still want to hear you talk about it. So
yeah, guys, I got a shocker for you. It's LeGarrette Blount. This is where I put Barry Sanders. To me, he is everything and more that you would ever ask a running back to be. He was the first in, last out. He defined the franchise. He is the face of the franchise. Throw Matt Stafford out there, Calvin Johnson, whoever you want. He is the Detroit Lion. You lined up every Detroit Lions player ever, he is the greatest one. And it's not even really, I mean, it's close between him and Calvin Johnson to me, but
yeah, that's the only one I'd be close with.
I wouldn't even really, you know, put Matt Stafford close to those two. To me, mm-hmm. I think that those two are top three at least at their position.
Yeah.
But Barry Sanders, to me, I don't know if there is another position in the NFL where there is a further gap between 1 and 2 to me. I just think Barry Sanders, you gave him 2 more years, 3 more years, 4 more years, would
give him a better team. Yeah.
Yeah. And put anybody else on that team. Put any other group of 5 offensive linemen in front of him.
Right.
For a whole season. And I think he would have every record in the book.
Yeah,
sure. He has the highlight reel that I think is probably the best ever.
Cutting across the field, you know, all the time.
Tavon Austin, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, it's Barry Sanders to me.
Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah. Well, that was a great list, guys. That was a lot of fun. We're going to keep doing this because this is a lot of fun. I hope y'all are having fun listening, as much fun as we are having talking about it, because this is a blast, and I really appreciate my two wonderful co-hosts for making my job easy. Hit that like and subscribe button on the way out. Give us a follow at RBLR Bucks or at RBLR Sports. Really appreciate y'all for tuning in, and we'll see y'all next week. But until then, and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.